Guylaine Dumier, welcome back to Worldviews.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here.
It's great to have you back. It's been a couple of years, and we know each other well. But you know what, Guylaine, I really don't know how or why you really became interested in art.
Oh, gosh. It's maybe a long story. I'm going to make it very short. But I was very fortunate in my life to have key people in my family and in my surrounding who were always interested in art, including, in fact, my grandmother on my mother's side, who was herself an artist. And I think she took me to my first museum when I was 5 years old, my first antique dealer when I was also five, and my first auction when I was 6 years old. And guess what? I worked 15 years in auction. And after that, I worked for the international art market for 15 years, decided to leave and went to do work as a volunteer in Guatemala because I really wanted to do something nonprofit. And that's where I discovered my bug of education in a way and wanted to do education and art. It's museum. And this is the reason then I moved to museum. So, but I would say I give an amazing credit to that grandmother who was really an unbelievable influence in my life, yes.
And your grandmother is Belgian?
Yes, okay, that's a complicated one. The Belgium / Austrian Czech part of the family.
Okay. But European.
Definitely European, but very, she moved around Europe a lot and had really kind of a, you know, it was the time of the Two World War. So she was an amazing person. And they had... I have also several other person in my life who got had a very strong influence in my love for the art, or at least to look at it. And funny enough, I don't necessarily looked at it as an aesthetic first, but I looked into an historian background because my study are history more than art history in a way. And I was looking at works of art to learn the history of the object or the history of the painting, and then got into the art side of it. So in fact, my background is more a historian and then become an art historian.
So given your international background and your background in art and art history, what is it about art that really contributes to our intercultural awareness and sensitivity and tolerance? I mean, it seems to be a connection between, I mean, everybody does art, you know? I mean, every culture has some form of art. So it's something that binds us together, is it not? I mean, is there a way in which art really contributes to our international understanding?
Yes, and even I would say it's beauty or it's emotion connected with beauty. That being said, every country have their own art, and you cannot necessarily be sensitive to everything. And some art speak better to you than another one, and you have things you like and things you don't like. But this perpetual need since the Stone Age, you know, when you look at the grotto, the cave of Lascaux, you know, of designing and drawings on the wall and representing visual art has been for every culture. And this is what I love in my job because as a director of a museum, I'm not there to represent one type of art. I'm here to really try to show expression of artistic talent in every culture, every century. The museum or museum in general is a repository, I would say, of a cultural or visual art. Of course, you have museums who are more like contemporary art museum and so on. In the case of university museum, we are universal. We are here to really show and exhibit work from every civilization. Why? Number one, because we are here to teach, and all of the student and the public need to be able to be exposed to every category of art if it's possible for them to react. And they will not necessarily react to everything. They will react to some of them, but that reaction is going to generate a thought, and that thought is going to generate a conversation with a member of the family. That reaction to the works of art is going to trigger consequences later on, for example, during a business meeting and so on. I mean, the aspect and the impact of visual art is really something who had the consequences on your own life all the time. What I like also, we are all, I mean, we're speaking so much about the global world. And very often people consider a museum as a kind of dusty place. Well, guess what? There's no better place than a museum with a kind of universal collection to prepare the next generation to be ready for a global world. Where on campus in Oklahoma could you find Chinese art and Native American? Of course, that's kind of easy because it's either. But, you know, contemporary European and so on. We have so much to do, museum around the world, to prepare the next generation to a global world. You were talking about tolerance. You were talking about, you know, sensitivity and so on. Yes, art is there to also train you and make you ready to accept the differences of the world through the visual art.
So even though we may have different tastes in the kind of art we prefer, that we have a different idea of what beauty is, for example, or what is artistic expression, we still all have ideas about what we think is beautiful and artistic. And so we share those common emotions, I guess. When you mentioned beauty and emotion, this is what really struck me, is that there's something universal about the emotion that can be provoked, evoked by a work of art. So even though we may not like the same kind of art, I may not prefer, you know, art from a certain region or that region or this country or that style, contemporary versus traditional or whatever, but that we're all still reacting and feeling things about it. And that's what kind of binds us together and creates this sense of universality.
Absolutely. And also, if you consider yourself to be an open-minded person, if even there's something you don't like because you don't think it's beautiful or you don't even think it's art, well, you at least have the duty to make a little bit of an effort to say, okay, what did this artist or what did this culture was thinking about? And that's, again, push you to, above, you know, your limit about trying to explore something different and a different civilization. So it's, for me, again, visual art is an open door to make it a better world. It seems a little bit kind of tacky to say that, but it's true.
So speaking then of kind of thinking about what artists are thinking and, you know, what motivates perhaps their art, let's talk about artists today. Who are some of the most influential artists, do you think, in the world today? Is that a really difficult question to answer?
It is, because this is completely subjective. But so, and what do you mean by influential? Are they necessarily the most famous one or the most, I mean, the most successful one or so on?
Right, the ones that make the most money versus the ones that are most
well-known
versus
the ones in this world right now is not necessarily money, but more the person who had the largest impact around the world. When you think about the Chinese artist Ai Weiwei, okay, his price are pretty high. I like him because he's a very provocative artist and he's a very political artist. And because he used the internet and the web and so on, everybody around the world knows him. I think he's an influential and definitely, yes, one of the best artists today. But many people are going to disagree with me, thinking that his art is not relevant or his art is not pretty. We were talking the other day about Ed Ruscha, who's originally from Oklahoma. Mr. Ruscha is now the most famous, I think, American living artist. He's based in L.A. He really had an influence on a big generation. But coming back a little bit before him, he's not living now, but he passed away only 4 years ago, was Robert Rauschenberg. And in my mind, Robert Rauschenberg, especially for the U.S., but for the world, had an impact on so many artists. I want to say any artist from after, I want to say, the 80s had a connection with Rauschenberg in one way or the other. So it's definitely a major artist, extremely successful and wonderful and so on. I mean, I don't know. I could go from different country like Miguel Barcello, who is a great Spanish artist and wonderful in abstract and representing, I mean, the sensitivity through the painting, which is really a great artist for me, but some people will consider that is not necessarily a major one. So it's a very difficult question, for everybody will have a different kind of opinion, but that three of them, for example, which are important.
So just to add to the difficult questions then here, yes. from the most influential or the most well-known perhaps artists to some of the trends, how you would characterize art today. I mean, it seems like you can find just about anything out there in multiple different, you know, media. You know, it seems to be very eclectic. I mean, is there any kind of way in which we can characterize art today as, you know, you mentioned abstract art. I mean, you know, how do we even make sense of what art looks like today?
Well, especially because you have, I mean, what we call new media and new art and so on. I mean, of course, what is interesting is painting on the wall or painting on the canvas is still going on. Painting on the wall, in fact, when you speak about street art and graffiti, well, people were in the caves, again, back to the cave stone people, you know, they were painting also on the wall. So that's kind of medium of expressing visually. But what is very interesting in the last 10, 20 years or a little bit more is all the new media with the video, with, virtual works and so on, mixed of, you know, music and media. All of that is a pretty groovy, I would say, an exciting trend. And because freedom, I mean, there is absolutely no border on the canvas. Anything could be the canvas. One could argue that every period had a very cutting-edge contemporary time. True. But I think the period we're living right now, the 21st century, has been seeing a huge amount of new technology and new way to express art. So is there any one trend? No, there's no one trend. There's multiple trends, and I don't think so that's going anything to stop. It's still going to grow with new technology. There will be artists using this new technology to do something even more creative. So it's a pretty exciting time to live.
It seems that there's a lot of kind of combining of different methods and approaches. So, for example, I was in Scotland a couple of weeks ago, and there was a brand new mural, very large mural, outdoor mural, that was to celebrate the in Glasgow, to celebrate their hosting of the Commonwealth Games coming up. And it was an incredible painting of swimmers and divers and, you know, things athletic. But it was done by a street artist who painted it with spray paint. And you would never know that by looking at it. I think that was the incredible thing, was that there was this mixing of kind of graffiti artist, beautiful mural that really was something that you couldn't imagine being done, you know, being produced in that way. This just really seems to be kind of an explosion of that sort of activity.
Absolutely, and you see that around the world. And we were talking just before today about the Biennale in Venice, which happened every two of the year, and which is a place where every country of the world had their own pavilion, bringing their own contemporary artists, creating works of art specifically for that. And it's an amazing time to go in Venice right now, because you see again the creativity and the creation from around the world with technology, some of them unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't go this year, but a friend of mine was telling me about the pavilion from the Vatican, and they had, again, new media technology used there, which was not what you expect from the Vatican, you know. And there were every country, including Angola, for example, who had also a very creative pavilion. So technology, again, and new technique are going to be really what's going to drive, I mean, this century about art. And it's also difficult for us museum people, because we have to stay tuned with everything, and it's difficult because you have so much going on.
And that's not like a piece of art that you can put in a museum.
No.
Right?
Some of them you could. Some of them you could do reinstallation when they but it's also take a lot of logistical challenges. But
yeah, much more challenging. Yeah. Well, Guylaine, I hate to say this because you're leaving us here at the University of Oklahoma, and I'm just, you know, I'm about to shed tears. But you're leaving us soon for your next adventure. You've been here at OU for over 5 years now,
yes,
I think, and I've done an incredible job with our Fred Jones Jr. Museum of Art. We just can't thank you enough for all of you've done for the University of Oklahoma. But you're on to your next adventure. You're going to be directing the Speed Art Museum in Louisville, Kentucky. What is your plan there? There's a tremendous amount of renovation, expansion, exciting things going on. Will you continue to work with students? What are any parting thoughts you might leave with us here at Oklahoma?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the University of Oklahoma and President Boren and all of you, my colleagues, to have been working with you. It's been an amazing experience and very exciting, especially to see all the possibility we were able to do, all the new program of education and so on. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, I was hired in Louisville, because, yes, they have the new building to build, which is something I didn't before, but it's bigger. But they want to change the concept of museum. They want to make it from a traditional encyclopedic museum. They want to make it a 21st century cultural stage with a lot of different type of art happening and so on. So that's very exciting. And also, as you mentioned, the University of Louisville is just around the corner, and they never really collaborate. So they wanted a director who know how to collaborate with students, which, guess what, I know how to do, and I love to do that. And of course, I will have to raise a little bit of more money for the endowment and also bring international exhibition to Louisville. So all of that are really challenges I like and I love. And yes, I'm extremely sad to leave Norman, because I really built wonderful friendship here. I know I will be back, because you don't give up, you know, friendship like that. But it was time for me to move on and to participate with a city community, because here it's more like a university community. And I'm very proud, and I want again to thank all my friends and my colleagues here, but also my staff, because everything I've been able to do in this 5 years, I would have never been able to do it without my staff. So it's to them.
Well, we are so sorry to see you go. Obviously, Louisville's gain is our tremendous loss, but you've left an amazing legacy here. You've built a foundation upon which future directors can, I'm sure, thrive. So thank you so much for all you've done for us and for being such a good sport on Worldviews and giving us your thoughts about art around the world. So thank you, Guylaine.
Thank you, and thank you for having me again today.